Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, that we come together as a family and we draw near to you, Lord, and Lord, with the confidence that your word is alive, God. And as you come and breathe on us by your spirit, Lord, that you transform us, God. And we open our hearts, Lord, we yield to you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, we declare we're ready, Lord, to receive your word. And we thank you for good ground in the soil of our hearts, God, that we would receive the seed of your word, God. And this morning we thank you for your presence, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one that leads us into truth, God. And we thank you not only for information this morning, but we ask for revelation knowledge of more of who you are, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to continue a little bit on what I started on last week, and then one specific aspect of that. But if you remember, we looked at this quote that I found randomly from Bill Johnson. I'm just going to quickly read it again to recap. He wrote, Jesus served with the heart of a king, but ruled with the heart of a servant. Royalty is my identity. Servanthood is my assignment. Intimacy with God is my life source. So before God, I'm intimate. Before people, I'm a servant. Before the powers of hell, I'm a ruler with no tolerance for the influence. Wisdom knows which role to fulfill at the proper time. And this morning, we're trusting just to specifically look at the servanthood part of us being called to serve. And often we know we're called to love people. We're called to, that thing we learn at Bible school. I remember one of the modules specifically put in terms of evangelism, setting out to determine what is our role in evangelism. And that, remember that like this, the Father, Scripture says the Father draws people unto himself. The Holy Spirit convicts people. And it's our role to love people. But that's often difficult, I think, for us to get to grips around. What does that mean? And if you look at the way that God calls us to serve, that is how we're called to love people, is to serve people in the love of Jesus. And that can take a whole range of different meanings. But let's look a little bit at that this morning. I just want to recap the scripture I mentioned last week, Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And I looked at the Greek there in terms of that specific word serve. And basically, is the word douleo, or something like that. It means to be a slave to, be in bondage, or to serve, service. So it's very closely connected to the word slave. It basically comes from the word slave, it also mentions here literally or figuratively, involuntarily or voluntarily. So it kind of encompasses all those. And in our case, I believe it's voluntary. Right? I don't look so sure. Okay. But it's connected. It comes from the word slave. And in those days, a slave, these days we kind of have to think about it. What does it mean? But in those days, it was an everyday thing. I mean, it wasn't a weird thing. People had slaves, and what used to happen is apparently they had in the town square at certain days you could go and buy a slave. So you would have a platform there, and you'd have people on the platform that would be for sale. And apparently you could go and then inspect before you buy, which obviously. Yeah, it's terrible. It sounds very much like the cattle auctions my dad and I used to go to. But the crazy thing is, those days that was the way people handled slaves. And obviously, depending on who you were, you treated your slave in different ways. But people would go inspect and kind of see are there any diseases? Is this person healthy? Is it going to be a good investment type of thing? And so this was very much a reality, very much a real thing day to day. People owned slaves, and those slaves would then work for the owners until they were either. Until they could either purchase their own freedom, or I think in some of the countries there was every seventh year, or there was the year of Jubilee, then slaves would be set free. But there weren't many instances in which a slave could actually go free. So this is, it's a very real thing that they're talking about here, to be a slave to something. So what he's saying is through love to serve one another, and that serving there is very much a, in our case, a voluntary, but it's a being a slave to somebody else. And for us, yeah, I suppose the serving thing makes sense. Let's look at Matthew chapter 20. Jesus says about this more. He says in 25, Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave." Again. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And again, we sit with this almost the command that God gives us. He says, through love, serve one another. And then Jesus very clearly says, this is how it happens in the world, but he says, this will not be so among you. It's not like that in the kingdom. It's different. And this is often something we struggle with. You know, we're in the world and we're part of the world system and we're part of making it and kind of clawing your way into success. But Jesus very clearly says here, the kingdom does not work as the world does. It shall not be so among you. And then he says, whoever desires to become great, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first, let him be your slave. And then again, he puts context to it. And he says, like Jesus. And immediately that puts us into the realm of impossibility, in a place where we have to be really dependent upon the Holy Spirit. We have to really trust God to make this real in our lives. So he says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life ransom for many. So he says here that this is our example. This is the one we look to. This is the example we follow, is that of Christ coming, humbling himself, and coming not to be served, although he's the King of Kings, not to be served. Even, it's interestingly enough, even though at his birth, people recognized him as a king. I mean, people came, those three guys came from way very far off, the wise men, and they recognized him as a king. And, King Herod of the time, he also recognized a threat here. But even though he was a king, he didn't come to be served. He came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So we see this whole picture of laying down your life, a slave. A slave didn't have many rights, okay? Or actually, didn't have any. Maybe later on they had some rules and regulations around that. But at that stage, people were basically doing whatever they like with their slaves. It's crazy. So a slave didn't have any rights. And here also, Jesus said he gave his life. So it's a kind of a complete surrender, a complete laying down of what is important to me, what is my desire, what is my kind of plan. And it's laying down my will and my life for the sake of Christ, and to serve Christ. And to serve others. Now, it's funny enough, the other day we were watching the opening ceremony of the Paralympic Games. Interesting. Yeah, we watched it together at the Drake House on the big screen, which was really great. I think we should have some movie nights there. So they have a big projector now and decent sized screen, and we can even organize some good sound. In any case, but. Yeah, they had the Big Bang there, and they had the the human rights, right? What is it? The book, yes, big book with human rights. But it shall not be so amongst you, says God. When you come into the kingdom, it works differently. And that's a challenge for many of us. Because we like the idea of human rights. Don't you like that idea? I've got rights. Yeah. And nobody will tell you otherwise, type of thing, you know. That whole idea of this is my right and nobody can take it away from me, type of thing. And that is appealing to us, and that's why it's called humanism, because the human is at the center. And the human is the most important. It's when you the me, myself, and I, Trinity, is the one I worship. And that's what human rights are about. So there was a very clear agenda there that evening. I'm kind of curious to see what it's the closing tonight, right? Kind of curious to see what they're going to come up with. But even though it's been a blessing. It's the Lord's favor has been on the Olympics and the Paralympics, which is a great blessing for the nation. And the Team GB did quite well, and the South Africans didn't too badly as well. It's one or two Shofar guys that did quite well. Did you see? Fani and Arnu? Yeah. Fani was here a while ago. He testified in Wimbledon, and he got a gold yesterday. Did you see how he was praising God all the time? Did you see that? Yes. And then the commentator actually said he runs for God, and he salutes him. Yeah, somewhere in an interview, obviously, it must have come out. Praise God. It's a wonderful testimony. And Arnu as well, Arnu Fury, he actually beat Oscar in the 100, I think. Yeah.
Bronze.
Yes, bronze. Yeah. Yeah, he's also from Shofar Stellenbosch. Actually, there are quite a few more. I don't know all of them, but I've met Fani. So that's been a great blessing. But so this whole thing of human rights is a thing that we live. It's a part of the world we live in. But in the kingdom, if we come into the kingdom and we become and we accept Jesus as our Lord, stuff changes. And the more, the better, the quicker you and I come to terms with the fact that the whole my rights thing isn't so important anymore, the better. The thing is, when I accept Christ as Lord, I lay down my rights. And I say, God, you are in charge. I'm no longer at the center of my universe. You are. You are in charge. You are number one. There's only one person that can take that place in our lives. So the rights go out the window. But at the same time, and we spoke about that a little bit last week, we become heirs. We inherit. Okay, heirs inherit. They don't have to earn it. They don't have to work for it. So we become heirs of the promise and the kingdom. So I reckon it's a good deal. Okay, my rights are not so important, but I can be a co-heir with Christ. And the riches of the blessings of God and the promises of God go way beyond any human right and everything I can feel good about in myself. Okay, so the rights are out the window, and there's really a place of laying down our lives for the sake of the gospel, and specifically here for the sake of other people. And I know this is getting very quiet, but because Christ is our role model in this area, and He's our example, it's like I said, it's impossible. It's really a place where we have to yield to the purpose of the Holy Spirit and the voice of the Holy Spirit and the direction of the Holy Spirit as we seek to serve others. I remember when we were often on mission trips or on Tar Trek, that intercession cycle we did, we often spoke about the flesh that has to die to the flesh. It was like a common term. And we joke about it, but it was very real, where we really could experience when you're doing a fast or you cycling a lot and your body is broken. Body is not doing well. Okay, so that's the flesh really has to die so that the spirit can really operate. And the amazing thing is that we experience that when we on the toughest days, I suppose because our bodies were really having to submit daily and having to die daily, the intercession we had was mind-blowing because of we really had to operate in the spirit. And unfortunately, I really hope that we don't have to put ourselves in that kind of a physical pain to get to that place, but that we would, through discipline and prayer and fasting, that we could really experience our spirit in charge and living and walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. But we'll touch on that a bit more a bit later. Okay, now, this whole servant thing, and the slave theme, comes up quite a bit in the New Testament. Let's look at Ephesians 6, 5-7. Paul writing says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleases, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men." So now he's talking to people here that are servants in the flesh. In other words, in reality there, they were either slaves or servants, or they were, subservient to others. And now he's saying, even in that situation, even if you don't have a choice, even if it's involuntary, he says, do it as unto Jesus, as unto the Lord. Powerful concept there, and something we, I suppose, again, with the rights thing at work and my rights and, the whole thing, this health and safety thing. Apparently, you're not allowed to pick up, I know some companies, you're not allowed to move your own computer screen if you pick up something heavy, somebody has to come and do it who has done the training. Is that true? And have you tried that? Have you done the training? The other day I was watching the guys set up the podiums when they had the medal ceremony. We watched a bit of Paralympics again on Wednesday. Praise God, it was quite interesting. Wheelchair rugby, also called murder ball. Yeah, I'll tell you serious stuff. Okay. In any case, so the guys are putting together the podium. I was wondering about, did they do the course? Because now this is on TV, it's documented, there could be serious repercussions. In any case, so even in the work environment, even amongst the rules and the regulations and the rights and the privileges and whatever, God, he's saying, don't do it as unto men. If you're going to work for your salary, or if you're going to work just for the paycheck or just for whatever you can get out of it, again, this is not how the kingdom operates. He says, in the kingdom, it works differently. We do this, as he says here, but not with eye service as men pleases, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord, as worship unto God. In other words, when I go to work, it's not because I want to please my boss. It's not because I want to make the bottom line. It's because I want to worship Jesus. And this is part of my worship. And this thing he's talking about here, this affliction, men pleasing. Anybody here, people pleasers? I suffer of this affliction. I'm getting better, but the Lord is delivering me, praise Jesus. Many of us struggle with this, wanting to please people. And I remember years ago it was really a problem. I wanted to please people more than I wanted to please God. And when we serve people out of that angle, from that point, from that motive, it's normally because of a need for recognition or need for affirmation, or sometimes it's a fear of man. But when we serve people and bless people out of that, then out of fear or out of a need, we're operating in the flesh. Okay, it's not in faith and is not unto God. And what happens is man is glorified and not God. But the difference is when we serve out of obedience to Jesus and out of love for God and out of love for people, Jesus, God is glorified. Amen. And there's a huge difference there. And on the, you can do the same thing out of fear or out of wanting to please somebody, and it will not have the same impact as doing it as in obedience to Jesus, to in a way that will worship Him. Are you with me this morning? So I had to deal with this in my life, and it's a challenging one because wanting to please men and wanting to please people, I don't know. There's always something. There's always another thing. You can never please somebody 100%. And it's amazing how liberating it is to get to a point where we realize, okay, I'm not doing this for any person. I'm not coming to church for any person. I'm not going to work to please anybody. I'm doing it out of obedience to God. I believe this is what He's called me to do. And you know what? There's a boldness that comes with that. There's a confidence that comes with that. Because we know this is not something, this is not depending on any human fragility. I don't have to expect a response from the person. I'm doing this out of my love for God and obedience to Jesus. Are you with me? And that changes the whole dynamic. God is glorified, and there can be real fruit from that serving somebody and really blessing someone. So we do it unto God, even when it's involuntary. We do it unto God. We do it as worship unto Him, not to please people, not to please man, but to please God. Amen. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus touches on this again. He says, "You have heard it that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Firstly, there's a few places in Scripture where Jesus says, "You have heard it said," or He says, it is written this and this, or people have said this and this, and then He says, "But I say to you." Those are good points to go and check out, because it normally talks about the law, and it says, okay, but now we're under grace, and now we're going into a whole new dimension of obedience and of grace that we can operate in. Okay, but I'm not going to go into that now. But He says that you shall love your neighbor. He says it was before, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But then He says, no, in the kingdom, it works like this. Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So He's putting a lot of stuff in there. There's no loopholes in this one, okay? Who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may, and then He says, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Because He is like us. And He says, for He makes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. And Scripture says we produce according to your own kind. And if we want to be sons of God, we have to represent the image of God. And so He says this is the way God operates, and we in the kingdom we operate the same way. In the world it's different. And then He says, it seems the tax collectors weren't such cool people. Do you get that? There's a subtle hint there. Even the tax collectors do this, you know, so it's kind of okay. Not cool to be a tax collector. But in any case, anybody work for the HMRC? Yeah. Trevor, are you a tax collector? I'm just kidding. But now it's different these days. But he, a few times he says that even the tax collectors, okay, so these guys were, they're not popular. But now the challenge here is, have you found this? It's easy to reach out to somebody that you like, that you care for. It's easy to when somebody's going through a tough time, to go and support them because I love them. No sweat. But now the challenge comes in where this week, and he makes it very clear, this group of people here, those your enemies, those who curse you, those who hate you, those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Can you think of a few people? Don't have to name any names right now. But this is where the challenge comes in. And those that we dislike, the people that we don't get on with, the people that we're actually trying to avoid. I'm not only talking, you know, maybe somebody at church, hopefully not. But maybe somebody at work, maybe you and your neighbor, you know, since he drove over your cat, you're not good friends anymore, you know, and there's just this tension in the air. I'm really hoping that my neighbor's cat doesn't go behind my car because I might just be tempted. Yes. I shouldn't say stuff like this because that cat uses our garden as a toilet. And I don't know, but it's terrible. It's just all over the place. No, but Lord, the Lord is gracious. I'm just joking. I will not be tempted, okay? But, you know, those people that, you know, if you have a strenuous relationship or whatever it is at work or wherever it is, it's there that we need to trust God for the grace to serve, the grace to just trust God for wisdom. How can I serve this person? How can I step out of the realm of the flesh and into the realm of the spirit? How can I step? Because have you noticed when you're in that cycle of, you know, I need to fight for my right and I need to, it's me against this guy, and I have to defend myself type of thing. When you're in that, it's terrible. There's no fruit of the Spirit there. There's no God is not being glorified. Nobody's being blessed. It's just distasteful. It's not nice. But you know, the grace is there to step out of that, to step into the Spirit, and to say, okay, God, how can I serve this person? How can I firstly pray for them? Okay, because this says here, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those, da 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 da. So pray for them, love them. Okay, I suppose all of these will have to go and I'll go together because I'm going to struggle to pray for somebody. But you know what I've experienced? As we pray, we connect with the heart of God for that person. So maybe that's the first step, but to say, okay, when you're alone with God, when the person isn't around, when you're kind of in a good space and you're operating in the Spirit, ask God, Lord, give me a heart to pray for this person. And I've experienced when I pray for that person, suddenly the stuff that the resentment I hold and the stuff that I'm experiencing now comes into perspective because I can now experience the heart of God for that person. I can now look at that person as God looks at them. And now I'm able to pray for them, I'm able to love them, and I'm able to bless them. Which is, you know, I know there's such a relief there when one can step out of that fleshly situation into the Spirit. And you know what? I guarantee you a massive shift when you come in the opposite spirit. When you decide, this is it, I'm going to bless, I'm going to love, I'm going to serve. I can guarantee you there will be fruit. The person might not be open at first. They might not want to receive. But you just carry on. You just be obedient to what God has said. And you know what? It's not fair. I know it's not fair. But that's where the whole right thing comes in. I can remember. When Jesus is Lord, He's Lord. And my rights don't count. So the most important thing is for Him to be glorified. Maybe I should say it more politically correct. I'll try. I'll think of something next week. Just joking. Okay. That is when God is glorified. That is when we see a shift in our work relationship. And you know, maybe there's people here that have experiencing tough situations at work. I've often spoken to people that have experiencing difficulty, and then they want to looking for a different job. And I've often said, you know, just pray about it. Maybe don't leave. Don't leave because of a bad situation. Leave because of a conviction. Leave because God has directed you to go. Trust God to have victory in that situation, and maybe then He will release you to move on. Okay, it's difficult. This is difficult stuff, but it's good news. Amen? Okay. So He makes it clear that, I mean, it's easy to serve. It's easy to love people that are brothers, that we like, that we get on with, that we love. But He says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Again, just underlining the fact that this is not something we do on our own strength. This is something we do very dependent upon the Holy Spirit, very dependent upon God, walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Okay. In 2 Corinthians, Paul mentions this whole bondservant thing again. Now, a bondservant, before we read that, a bondservant was somebody that was a slave, for instance, and then was set free. So either they, for some reason, they are now free. And then they decide, this slave now decides voluntarily, I want to, for the rest of my life, serve this person as a slave, as a bondservant, voluntarily. I'm gonna stick with this guy. I'm gonna serve them until I die. And what they would do apparently is go in a public place. Or was it at the doorpost? It might have been at the doorpost of this place of the whatever master they were gonna serve. And apparently, in some regions, they actually put a nail through the ear. Weird, I know. We do it differently these days. We just use smaller nails. No, but they nailed the ear to the doorpost for like a day or so that everybody could see what was happening. Okay, no, you don't have to do that, so you can relax. But so the point was that everybody could see that I'm voluntarily committing, basically laying down my life to serve this person for the rest of my life, and that's called a bond servant. Have you got the picture? So it's somebody that has chosen, saying, "Yes, this is it. This guy's. I have this conviction. I'm gonna." Obviously, they normally probably be doing this for somebody they get on with. But this is what the word bondservant means. So let's just, and we've read it once or twice. Let's just read, continue here. And actually, Paul identifies one or two of his letters. He says, Paul. He starts the letter with introduction, Paul, the bondservant of Jesus Christ, and he carries on, apostle, etc. So he says, this is the way I serve Christ. It's the same way as a bondservant. And again, for us, it's like, what does that mean? But for that time, a very powerful picture of laying down your life completely, saying, this is it, my rights, there's nothing. I exist for the benefit of this person. Are you with me this morning? So he's saying, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I lay down my life for Him. Whatever that may mean, I exist for Him. I exist to serve Him. I exist to worship Him. And let's see this in this context here in 2 Corinthians 4, 5 and 6. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So he's talking to a group of people here, to the Corinthians, and saying, we are your bondservants. I'm your bondservant for Jesus' sake. And then he just basically declares there that this is the way, this is the reason they exist. This is the reason they live, is for the sake of the gospel. And then he not only says, not only bondservant of Christ, but because Christ has called us to serve people, he says, a bondservant, your bondservant for Jesus' sake. So again, we see here a voluntary laying down of our life, laying down of one's life for somebody else for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus. And the amazing thing is, again, this is where it says here, this is where God is glorified. This is where the gospel is the gospel. This is where lives are changed when we step into this dynamic. And the grace of God for us is immense when we step into this. The world we're living in, it's different, guys. And I think this is something we need to make peace with. The world system is not like the kingdom. The kingdom is different. God is not like, it's not like anybody else. We need to make peace with that. He works differently. Okay? The kingdom is different. And the grace of God for us to walk by faith, to walk in the Spirit, is sufficient. And not only that, there's an abundance. There's an abundance for every good work. And I really have on my heart that God wants to release us from fear of man. He wants to bring us as a family to a place where, yes, we can serve one another as we do, and I want to commend you for that, for serving one another and loving one another and caring for each other. We're having so many babies being born, and every time there's a food rota, and every time people are being blessed, you know, that's just one example. But and please keep Winnie in your prayers and support her. So I want to commend you that we do that well. But I'm going to trust God, and we're trusting God that as a family, we will come to a place where we can lay down our lives for those around us. Those we're not friends with. Those that we don't necessarily know well. Our community, our colleagues at work, etc. And that's where the glory of God will manifest. That's where we will see lives turn around, because people will want to know. That's how people taste. Have you wondered, when the Bible talks about taste and see that the Lord is good, how do you taste that? You know, when that colleague at work that always asks you those loaded questions, and it's like they're prodding you the whole time like this. They're nibbling. It's like a fish nibbling on bait. Have you seen that? They want to see, is this the real thing? Is this true? Can it be? And you know what? When they taste us and they test us, they need to see, they need to taste and see that God is good. They're pressing those buttons because they want to see, is this for real? Can it be true that somebody can really love real in a real way? Taste and see that God is good. And I'm really trusting for us, and at the end we're going to get a bit practical, but for us to get into a dynamic where we will look for opportunities to serve, not only our community, but people. And I'm thinking in the home group, in small group, we can look at ways that we can serve our community. But then individually, I'm going to give us homework. Yay! Maybe I should use a different word. Some people still got bad connotations with that word. But to really go out this week, and maybe I should make it longer, maybe a month, and to trust God for an opportunity to serve somebody that isn't your best friend. Maybe start with a neighbor. I've got such a blessing in Erna. She bakes so well. I'll just get her to bake lots of cool stuff, and then we'll just take it to the neighbors and we'll say we had some spares or whatever. No, but, you know, find an excuse to bless your neighbor. Find an excuse to serve them in some way. Obviously, it's voluntary, but I really believe this is from God. And I really believe God's going to open hearts. It's going to open doors for us to minister to people that's unexpected. Are you with me? Okay. And so once you have found that opportunity to bless somebody or to serve somebody, I would please like you to come and share it and share what happened. Amen? Okay, God doesn't look so sure. We'll pray. We'll pray and intercede for you at the end. Okay. let's just read from Philippians 2, 5 to 8. This is Christ. This is who we follow. This is why we serve, because He served us. This is why we are empowered to love people, because He first loved us. This is why we are able to lay down our lives, because He laid down His life. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He was God, okay? King of kings, Lord of all. He was there when the creation happened. He was right there. He was in it, okay? But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, okay? And coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him, giving him the name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And I believe when we step out and we step into this grace and into the provision that God has made for us, because He first loved us, because He laid down His life for us, because He first became a bondservant, because He, in every one of these things, Jesus never expects us to do anything that He hasn't done. He hasn't laid down. He's laid down His life. He became a bondservant. He humbled Himself unto death. I believe when we step into this dynamic, this is what's going to happen. People, every knee will bow. And tongues will confess. And people are going to taste and see that God is good. People are going to experience the reality of the love of Jesus in a way that they haven't before. Amen. If you stand with me, I'm going to just pray. What a privilege. What a privilege to follow Christ and to lay down our lives in the way that He laid down His life. What a privilege to say, yes, God, I see the provision that You have made in Christ, and I want to respond to that. I want to respond to Your example. I'm not there yet, to be honest, God. There's so many things in my life and my heart that I'm still dealing with, but you know, coming to the place where I say, God, I know Your grace is sufficient for me in this thing. I know that You are the example, and I want to walk in the footsteps of Christ in this area. I want to lay my life down for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Your name, for the sake of serving You and serving people. So I want to really trust, I want to pray now, and I trust God for opportunities. But it's gonna be a matter of coming before God and saying, Lord, today, show me. How can I overcome this terrible situation at work? How can I serve? How can I bring the kingdom into this situation? How can Your name be glorified in it? You know, when we're in a situation like that, it's so hard, because it's, you know, there's so many negative things happening. But the reality is, the kingdom has to come there. So it takes for us to step back and to say, Lord, how is that going to happen? How is the kingdom going to come in this area? How can I love this person? How can I serve them? How can I, you know, see Your kingdom established here? So we're going to pray now, and I'm going to ask for opportunities. I'm going to trust God for opportunities. But yes, this reminds me, we're going to have communion. Sorry, so before we pray, can you please hand those out? Thanks. We're going to serve one another with communion. Cool, we're going to do it a little bit differently this morning. So since most of the couples are not together yet, so it won't be in couple format, it'll be ladies with ladies and men with men. Serve one another. And we're going to just, let's pray for the word, and then we're going to just serve one another with communion and pray for one another. Okay. All right. Okay, let's just pray and then we're going to have communion together. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Father, that when we look at the life of Christ, we stand in awe, Lord, that you came, that you humbled yourself, Lord Jesus, that you took the form of a man, and you came not to be served, but to serve. That you came to become a bondservant, Lord. You came and you laid down your life for us, for all of humanity, that we might have life. And this morning we thank you that we can respond to that, Lord. We can say, Lord, we thank you that you've made provision. Because you first loved us, and because you first laid down your life, and because you first became a bondservant, we thank you that there's grace for us to do the same. There's grace for us to respond, to say, Lord, take my life, Lord. Take everything that I am. I exist for your glory. I exist for the sake of your name. I exist for your kingdom to be established, Lord. And Lord, this morning we ask, Lord, that for that grace to take the next step, God, becoming bondservants for Christ's sake of people, laying down our lives for the sake of the gospel, to serve others, to serve the lost, to serve the dying out there, those that are spiritually dying because they don't know you, Father, those that are physically dying. Lord, so many that are in need in various different ways, Lord, and we ask in the name of Jesus that you, this week, Lord, I pray that you open our eyes to see, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we would see what you see. Lord, at work, in a difficult circumstance, in a difficult relationship, whether it be with our neighbor or a colleague or whoever, or even a family member, God, I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray for an urgency in every heart here, Lord, to ask, Lord, that you would open our eyes, God, that we would see what you see, Lord. I thank you for a grace to pray. I thank you for a grace to love them. I thank you for a grace to bless them. I thank you, Lord, for a grace to serve these people, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I pray for a boldness, Lord, when you show us the opportunity for a boldness to respond, God. And I thank you, Lord, I just sense that you want to take burdens off us, chains of fear of man, in the name of Jesus. Right now, we break every chain of fear, a fear of man over this place. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare it broken now, and that yoke is destroyed now. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for that we can walk free from every fear, Lord. That we can walk in obedience to you, Lord. And out of love for you, be obedient to your call, God. In Jesus' name. Thank you for fruit of this word. And we ask, Lord, this is not for us to feel good about ourselves. We ask that your name be glorified. We ask, Lord, that your name be lifted up, or that your glory be manifested in us and through us and in this community, God, in our nation, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.